Welcome to part C of the audio companion. With the start of this part, we turn to the file 21, Lect 4B. That is the second part of the week 4 lecture. We're on page 1 of a shorter PDF, you can see, than the first section of the PDF. I fully understand we are completed so far one full class period, and this will be an overage to finish up the lecture item 2, instrumental variables. I'll give that time back. We've been short a couple weeks anyway, but in the future I will give this time back so you could view this, you could shift it, time shift it any way you want. But as long as the material is up, I might as well complete the audio, and you can consume it anytime you like. So item 2 of week 4 is instrumental variables for observational studies. Now, you've done a good bit in the fall quarter or elsewhere with instrumental variables when there was random assignment somewhere in the study, whether it be an encouragement design study or a compliance study, that is a clever dose response experiment or a broken RCT where you're trying to fix compliance. Either way, your instrument was the random assignment indicator, the group indicator. That's a very rare event. It's an important event. Anger, Simmons, Rubin bringing that up was a very clever and important thing to do, but it still is a very minor part of the applications of instrumental variables, which are predominantly in observational studies and trying to fix a broken dose response relationship or a broken t-test by use of this instrumental variables. And it's not a pretty picture, but it is dominant in a lot of areas of social science and even in medical science, life sciences. So we're going to go back from the start and reintroduce you to the technical details of instrumental variables, the giant assumptions made, and the success or failures of attempts to do this in observational studies. That is the choice of an instrument other than random assignment. Our main lecture topics are given on PDF page 1. From the web page, intro to instrumental variables, disattenuation, which one simple example, where we do have parallel forms of and measured with error variable, and we can use the parallel forms as instruments successfully that will meet the assumptions. Omitted variable and selection effects adjustments, which are far less successful, IV applications for broken regression models. And we have some basic technical slides. And the music is Dusty Springfield, Wishin' and a Hopin'. And you'll see the extreme level of wishin' and a hopin' is involved in any interpretation of an instrumental variables analysis and an observational study as a causal inference, as an as if by experiment. It's too much to really take seriously. A wonderful reading that's used throughout various labor economics and other classes is the Angrist and Kruber paper, where the main example is returns to schooling. That is salary level, income level, predicted by your dose, which is your amount of education. You know, there's self-selection there. How do you fix it? And instrumental variables are seen as a way of doing that, for better or worse. PDF page 2 continues the web page. We have a couple other examples, television and autism. There's an association between television viewing and probability of being autistic. That's something we can interpret as causal, or does it go the other way even, which we'll take up later in unit 2. And before Spotify, file sharing on record sales. The R implementations, IV rig in the AR package we previously mentioned. We'll show you examples of that. You've seen examples of that in the various RCT applications of instrumental variables. Again, those in Unit 1 are not that common. The predominant is in observational studies, where you can make much less of an endorsement. IV model is a newer package out of Wharton, and the old package is John Fox's Two Safely Scores TSLS in SEM. So that's PDF page 2. We have lots of review questions, some practice on doing instrumental variables. The Engrist and Kruger paper is worth note and praise, and we'll look at it a little bit. And widely used instrumental variables in the search for identification. And so method of instrumental variables is a signature technique in the econometrics toolbook. Okay, and it goes back to, and we'll see a picture of P.G. Wright. This was a reciprocal effects example, supply-demand curves, and we'll come to that simultaneity later in Unit 2. We're going to take up the very simple example. So that's Engrist and Kruger. And I commend it as reading, and we'll work through bits of it. Philip Wright, P.G. Wright, interested in working out price of butter was demand or supply driven. That's a simultaneous regressions type thing, link regressions, and we'll come back to doing that later on in Unit 2. The other example, television causalism out of Cornell, and we'll look at that, trying to disentangle an association using rainfall as an instrument. Okay, in our little chart of things we're trying to, PDF page 6, it's from the STAT-209 overview, we're trying to fix a broken Y on tilde D, that is returns to schooling, where dose is schooling, a Y tilde G, some group membership, high school graduate or not, you can make it still in the return to schooling, or Y is income, and you have some instrumental variable Z, which has magical properties that allows you to use it to get a as if by experiment conclusion based on these observational data. Okay, can't wait. PDF page 7. Okay, so here is the basic IV handout and showing you the wishing and a hoping part of it. So the IV handout, we have another version of it, which we've seen before, STAT 209. We have the omitted, what's called the omitted variable setting. That is, we have some predictors, but we know this other stuff that matters. And so you have here we have a Y and an X. You could call it a dose or a G. That is some, and the example would be log wage, and this we're gonna do these data. Wage and where X is amount of education, that's the dose. And the problem is that there's a lot of other things that will influence wages, ability, motivation, stamina, all sorts of things that are in you. So that we are in the problem of least squares, the covariance of X and U is not zero. There's reasons why people have higher levels of education than others that also may influence their wage earning, such as socioeconomic status of their parents, et cetera, et cetera. So we know covariance X and U. We can't use least squares and get a thing. The example that Engrist and Kruger is, ability is omitted here. What's the bias through the omitted variable? And we saw that in the regression recursion thing. The log wage, you'd like to have ability also in the equation. Let's pretend that fixes it. What's going to be the bias in not having it? That's the omitted variable bias. We get that from the regression recursion result. And we'll see that in the Engrist and Kruger. Here is the instrumental variables idea. We have a variable Z such that it is correlated with X, some empirical association, but it magically is only correlated with Y through its association with X. That is, it's uncorrelated with everything else that's left in you. That is an untestable assumption. There's not even any decent diagnostics. It's just a hope. And we'll see why right below, why that works. All bad things go away if you had this magic Z. So it can't have much of an influence on Y, only through X. That's why people find instruments that seem relatively meaningless. The one Angerst and Kruger use is birth quarter, because that has some correlation with the amount of education you get, because if you're at the cutoff for years, they find some small correlation, because school years start in September. Z is regarded as exogenous, no partial effect on Y, but can't possibly influence your wages. Of course, they overlook the fact that winter babies rule. And those of you born in February, hooray for you. So maybe false, but the idea is we have an empirical association to Z and X. They try to choose unimportant variables, therefore the correlation of Z and X is going to be small, so as to not be an important variable that could influence Y. When you get it small, you blow up the variance, so even any bias reduction, as we'll see below, is likely to be swamped by variability, i.e. mean square error will still go up, even if this worked, kind of. So there's really no hope. But you may have a study with a million people in it, and you're willing to give up a factor of 100 if the correlation of Z and X is 0.1. So Z is assumed to be exogenous. This covariate ZU equals zero is hope untestable. That's where Dusty sings. And why is this? The result is, if you have this Z, a boxed result, and we have it again, the covariance of Z and Y equals beta 1, the thing you want, is what you really want. This is your ace or your magical dose response, times the covariance of Z and X. All you're doing is taking the basic Y on X regression and running Z through as a covariance, plus the covariance of Z and U, which you wish and hope goes to zero. So then what? How do you solve for beta 1? You just make the ratio of covariance of Z and Y over covariance of Z and X. Or in the sample, beta hat 1 is the covariance of Y and Z, or the covariance of X and Z. That's the magic. This is the instrumental variables estimate. You can see, different from the OLS, you substitute in a Z for an X. You'd have covariance of X and Y over covariance of X and X to get the variance. Put in a Z, you have the IV estimate. That's the magical thing. It totally depends on the hope untestable assumption, the covariance of Z and U equals zero. And even if that were satisfied, you have to note the variance of this beta hat 1 is increased by a factor of 1 over the square of the correlation between X and Z. So if you have things that are only correlated 0.1, typically called a weak instrument, you're blowing up your variance by a factor of 100. i.e. decreasing your effective sample size by a factor of 100. You can also work out the residuals and all sorts of things. Weak instrument inflates variance, MSC worse, even if bias were greatly reduced. So that's the instrumental variable, and the whole idea is that the covariance of Z and U is assumed to be zero. And if you miss that by a little bit, you're messed up, as Jim Heckman will point out in readings here. There is also a comment on two-stage least squares, which is an old-fashioned version of instrumental variables. And we have Friedman's proof. Basically, two-stage least squares works as follows. Predict X by Z. So X hat equals X bar plus the slope, Z minus Z bar, and then you use that X hat, which is purged of extraneous information. It's the only part, it's the part of X that's predictable by Z, therefore getting rid of the U's. You do that regression and you get the IV estimator. You can work through that. So two stage least squares and IV are give you the same point estimator, and as it was done, and you can always do it, this two-stage, even with multiple predictors, multiple instruments. And David Friedman's book has a proof using hat matrices, this works in general, but it's a good thing to note. So we have this estimator. This is all it is in an observational study. See, with random assignment, you might be able to make this argument, although we saw in things like SALT, it was pretty tough in the encouragement design, but you might have a chance. In regular observational studies, there's not a chance. Okay, page 8 of the PDF just repeats it, perhaps written out a little better. D and G, broken regression. OLS fails for using the Y on X regression. You log wage. You have omitted variables, et cetera, to the rescue, instrument Z. Again, such that covariance X and Z is non-zero, and covariance Z or U is zero. There's where you play Dusty Springfield. Actually, if this is true, analysis covariance also works. That's a funny thing we'll see in a current page. So if you could get this to assume, analysis covariance also works, and we know that never works. Z exogenous, no partial effect on Y, even if Z is random assignment RCT. And you can work out properties, the variance of the weak instrument. And if R is X, Z is 0.1, you're knocking down your sample size by a factor of 100. Remember the RCT IVs, those were applications where you might be able to make as a case, although it's still not easy. But PDF page 7 and 8 run you down that basic assumption. And just from, I think this is from London School of Economics, an instrument Z for the variable concern X is correlated with X, perhaps slightly, correlated with the problem variable, that's the predictor, the dose, X years of schooling, but uncorrelated with the residual, so not suffer any measurement error, not correlated with any unobservable factors influencing the dependent variable. How do you make that case? Well, you basically just assume. I talked about two-stage least squares. That's PDF page 10. Just broke it out here, but you can see they're equivalent. And then David Friedman, and I just scanned a page from his text if you want to see section 8.4, what are the two stages? And he shows you that the recipe, the fit of value, is the proof that beta hat two-stage least squares is beta hat IV, message section old-fashioned two-stage least squares coincides with the new fangled IV least squares. And show scalar math equivalent. Well, I did that in the handout. We don't get to write on the blackboard, which is helpful, but we have to do everything in slides here. So that's PDF page 11, just reminding you it works in general, the two-stage least squares. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the measurement error example I want to use just to quickly illustrate IV, and people often do it. So if we have a predictor X that's measured with error, maybe we can use instrumental variables if we have a parallel form that is has the same true score but just a different amount of mixed error, that is a test score, reading test score on two different weeks for the same person. One can be used as an instrument to disattenuate, i.e. correct for measurement error. That's one use where you can make the case that there is no correlation because all it is pure noise that differentiates X from Z. So that's the London School of Economics. So here we have from our handout the measurement error example. And we can do this fancier. We do it in the homework. But I create a measurement error where I have two variables that I'm going to use. The true regression is an outcome Y and a predictor W, and that has slope about 1. Target parameter is 1.0. I could have made 10,000 and that not. So we have a predictor X with reliability 0.9, an outcome Y, and pretty good measurement. If we come along and just use X compared to the perfectly measured W, you get target parameter about 0.9 instead of 1.0 because we have, as we saw in the last section, we have measurement error and single predictor attenuate biases downward proportional reliability. A larger simulation would get that exactly. Now, I also formed a Z, which is just a parallel form of X. It's the true score plus random error, if you can see where Z is created in the upper half. Just like X is, W is the true score. I'm getting two different weeks of reading assessment. Presumably the kid has the same ability, but different questions, different setting, different levels of sleep the night before, all will make these the Z and the X noisy measures of W. I can use one of the parallel forms, reliability almost 0.9, as an instrument. So I'm going to do that, and I do covariance Y of Z, covariance X of Z using Z as the instrument. I get 1.04, and that's what I get from two-stage least squares, or from, if you try it out, from IV rank. I just did this originally with two-stage least squares. I did this out by hand, two-stage least squares. You can see that's just the doing it using the two-stage least square command from SEM or using IV reg get me exactly the same thing, about one. And use package IV reg AER if you want to see lab 3 from legacy stat 209. It's also a review question, and we do that, we can redo it using there. That's the state of clone, and you'll get the same result. So you're disattenuating the using the fallible variable X alone, the standard least squares, is going to be too small. Correcting using the IV, here's a case where the assumption is true because there's nothing about the difference between X and Z that could possibly influence Y because it's just pure noise. So here's the success. You could do it via IV reg and do it nicer, and I think the review question will have you do that. That's PDF page 13, the little measurement error example, which is often used as that. And page 14 has it, the ASCII PDF'd up, and you get the standard error even just about right, and IV estimator, and so you have that. That's a cleaner version, PDF page 14, without my squirrels on it, but better treatment. So we're back to the IV equations, admitted variables setting. Fixing broken regressions, we saw the assumption, and we know the variance depends on, so mean square error depends heavily on the correlation of X and Z, so we worry about weak instruments. And you can also ask about ANCOVA. And here's the idea, PDF page 16, I won't spend time on this, but it is funny, IV versus ANCOVA. You start out with a broken t-test, i.e. a group membership variable where there's self-selection, so there's lots of correlation with G and U, that is groups aren't equivalent. And consider an instrument X. So consider using some background information as an instrument or as a covariant. X could be regarded as an instrument from Z, or it could be analysis covariance adjustment. You know what the beta IV is, covariance Y and X, covariance G of X. And if you work that out and use the IV assumption that Y dot G has to be uncorrelated with X and the population, that's the assumption that U is uncorrelated with X, you come along and you find out that you get the same result from analysis covariance as you do an IV assumption. That is, the IV assumption assumes that analysis covariance is right, basically. That is, if you invoke the IV assumption, you get the beta IV. The IV assumption, the IV result, the IV coefficient is the same as the ANCOVA treatment effect. Cute, probably annoying to those that believe in this. Okay, research example is you find a correlation between TV viewing and autism. You actually don't know what it is, but as the Wall Street Journal said, is the wide, wide world of economics too wide? Is there anything economists won't study, and should there be? Okay, spring of 2005, Cornell University economist Michael Waldman, strange correlation in Washington, Oregon, and California. The more it rained and snowed, the more likely children were to be diagnosed with autism. To conclude, something children do more during rain or snow, fast watching television, must influence autism. So he got, wrote a early childhood TV may trigger autism, growing ambition of economists, hubris in the view of critics. Okay. A statistical method, instrumental variables, introducing some random or natural influence helps economists sort out questions of cause and effect. They create national experiments. That is, use one as a proxy for another, rainfall patterns instead of TV viewing. It's not always clear what the results actually measure. And here's Jim Heckman, Nobel laureate and a pretty darn good statistician who's done a lot of things in observational studies. There's a saying that ignorance is bliss. I think that characterizes a lot of enthusiasm for these instruments. Jerry Hausman, who has done a lot of work on instrumental variables, and you'll see the Hausman test in a moment. If your instruments aren't perfect, you go seriously wrong. That is, the Dusty Springfield better be darn right. The best way to figure out whether television triggers autism would be to do what medical researchers do, randomly select a group of susceptible babies at birth to refrain from television, then compare their autism rate to a similar control group that watched normal amounts of TV. If the abstaining group proved less likely to develop autism, that would point to TV as a culprit. Design trumps analysis, even in the Wall Street Journal. Economists can't perform that kind of experiment. Economists look for instruments, natural forces, or government policies that do the random selection for them. This technique helps them separate cause and effect. And that's, they do it. They use rainfall as an instrument to try to get at that. Right, right. And then there's TV watching, statistical method, right. So, of course, P18 just repeats that, but there's some additional comment. So let's go back to a serious, not necessarily successful treatment of instrumental variables. And this is Angrist and Kruger. So you saw TV viewing and autism. Okay, demand and supply, we came to that. And here's a chart, table one. We saw a number at the bottom frame, randomized experiments, such as encouragement designs, we saw that before, for natural experiments, which means observational studies. I'm on PDF page 20, there table one. Say earnings, years of schooling. So the dose is years of schooling, and the outcome is earnings, and we have a number of studies of that. The instrument is quarter of birth in Angrist and Kruger. Card had it as proximity to college. That's another famous data set. School construction is another one used in earnings. You want the instrument to be trivial, length of rivers or whatever, but just correlated with years of schooling, not an influence on earnings. Proximity to college may well influence your earnings directly, because that indicates your quality. Around Stanford is Palo Alto, around Vandy is Forest Hills, Green Hills, some of the wealthiest areas in the country. Okay, but that doesn't matter here. PDF page 21 is a little bit of the wonderful exposition of Angrist and Kruger, the observed association between outcome and exposure variable of interest in these many other examples is likely to be misleading in the sense that it partly reflects omitted factors are related to both variables, i.e. selection bias and other things. The Y tilde D or the Y tilde G, a relationship can't be, those coefficients can't be taken seriously. Of course, if you could assign the variable of interest randomly, like being able to control assignment of TV to susceptible pre-autistic kids, you'd have a real study. The omitted variables problem, they take ability being the idea of what you've missed in the returns to schooling, and they go through and do the regression recursion result. PDF page 22 reminds you of that, and you can get the effect of omitted variables, and that's what on page 73, I'll leave it for you to read through, and then coming through on PDF page 23 in the boxed statement, and this is careful and serious. A good instrument is correlated with the endogenous variables for reason the researcher can verify and explain, but uncorrelated with the outcome variable for reasons beyond its effect endogenous regression. Matlock, who's another famous econometrician, where do you get such a variable? Like most econometric texts, he does not provide an answer. Good instruments come from detailed knowledge of the economic mechanism, and you can try to make a case for it. This is what happens in observational studies. You have to make your case. And they go through and find the birth quarter, and they make an argument for it. Here is the omitted variables, things I write on the board, but I had to include them here, and I just work them out, the instrument Z, and how that removes the bias. PDF page 24, you can work through it. It's just the simple cancellation. The Rehnquist rationale for Angst and Kruger is most states required students to enter school in the calendar year in which they turn six, start school start age, and the function date of birth. And they find a slight correlation between that and amount of education. That's PDF page 25. I'll go through that. And PDF page 26 is just taken from that. It's a good read through it if you're interested in how people try to justify instrumental variables, or else you can just turn your head and walk away from them. Your choice. The example we want to pursue is the panel study of income dynamics. This is MROS 87. And Legacy Stat 209, as pointed out in the review questions, goes through this in great detail and does the standard Woolridge text analyses. And just to illustrate the use of instrumental variables, even though I'm not a fan, we want to go through it. And so here's the data set, which I'll describe briefly and show you the various analyses. And we'll come back to this when we talk about simultaneous equations. So we have the data posted. It's linked, and you can get it from the also in Lab 3 of Legacy Stat 209. There's a link given to it. The labor force participation, you need to pick out the women that worked in order to be able to talk about returns to schooling. Education is wife educational. Educational attainment, wage is the outcome. So here are your predictor and your outcome variables. The instrument is going to be used in the textbook is Weiss father's educational attainment. Why that doesn't influence the Weiss wage directly, I don't know. It might seem that father's education has all sorts of ways of influencing the wife's employment history other than just through wife's education, but we'll leave that unsaid and for others to argue. Okay, so what we do is we come through and use the MROS data, and as I say, there's more detailed, I have a condensed version here just to get you the basics, and Woolridge, you can see it in Stata, and we'll show you, is posted because this is the common textbook example. So if we just did the standard regression, wife's income on education, log wage till to education, this is the dose response, ignoring the fact there's lots of selection bias, people self-select into levels of education for all sorts of reasons. That gives you 0.11, basically. If you come along and then do IV reg using father's education, which you can try and justify, diagnostics option is useful. I can comment on that. Don't know if you need to do that anymore. I think it'll work automatically, but it sometimes doesn't. And you get a return to education about half as big, 0.06 instead of 0.11. And the standard error is three times as large because the correlation isn't big. As we can see, correlation is 0.4 between the instrument and education, father's education, and the daughter's education. So that's going to blow up the standard error, 1 over r squared for the variance. And you get, so what number is right? It's no longer significant. Education isn't worth anything, IV says. Before you got a t-value of 7.5, now you get a t-value of 1.6. Ha, the education establishment is disappointed, but still will praise IV because of tip, I guess. And so we have, here's what you get from IV reg, which is right. Now, just a moment on diagnostic tests. The weak instruments diagnostic is just the correlation of X and Z. That's just a simple test, and that's demonstrated in the lab. So significance test for 0.145 has a big statistic, and a big, because 0.41 with a big sample size is going to be very different from zero. The Wu-Hausman, and we take that up a little bit, the Hausman test is often used to show there's a difference between OLS and IV, but what does that tell you? That is, you know that the OLS, ignoring selection bias, pretending you have random assignment to levels of education and therefore can get the dose response, you know that's wrong. You hope IV actually reduces the bias, but the Hausman test is a warning that if the IV is too different from the OLS, you should worry. I think you should applaud, except if you didn't believe in the IV anyways. So that's a kind of an odd kind of test, that they worry if there's too much of a correction from IV, even though they know OLS is seriously wrong. Sargan is an identifiability item for linked equations, and so we can't do that. We can do a confit on IV reg objects, and we get a confit that will include zero, i.e. that education is not as significant, even in a relatively large sample, predictor of wages. So much for tuition. Okay, so there's a look. This is on one page, everything. The lab using the MROS data goes through great detail, shows you various two-stage least squares equivalences, all sorts of other worked out equivalences that you may want to work through, and it's in the review questions. That's PDF page 28. Okay, I did it again on PDF page 29, a little more written out. Here's the IV reg. You get that, matches tax one. This comes from the lab. Confidence interval, you can use the diagnostics, and we did that, so that's redundant, just showing you it's written out also in the lab, PDF page 29. Here, PDF page 30 shows you that you get the same results from state up as you do from R, for what that's worth. So, and using IV reg, just with syntax that's indescribably it's indescribable. That's the difference. Okay, IV estimated returns to ED less than half OLS and non-significant. You can show that, and it's done in the lab. Okay, endogeneity, that's pH test, Wu-Hausman test for endogeneity. Compare OLS and IV estimates. Promise there was a little more on that. Why it's perplexing why you care, because you want IV to be different from OLS, I guess just not too different. Package AER, page 32 of the PDF, just shows you the manual from the fellows that did AER, and that's the IV reg command, which is your main command. PDF page 33, instrumental variables regression. You can see it's got reasonable syntax, and you can get diagnostics out of it. Here's another example, PDF page 34 from the Switzerland exposition. You can get the data, monthly rents, urban population, measuring housing value. And they worry about old-fashioned, worry about sandwich estimators, getting better estimator of variance. We don't want to do that, but I just wanted to show you people have worried about that. The confidence interval and IV pack and IV model even do more sophisticated things, but I think Stata worried about this a whole lot. And that's some more IV reg. You don't really have to worry about sandwich estimators. PDF per 35 is just from the IV reg entry in the AER manual. They have lots of data sets. IV reg fit, and here's one, the cigarette data, that's what I was looking for, is the example using the IV reg manual, and you can take a look at that if you wanted to work out yet another exercise in IV-ness. We've kind of said what we're going to say about it. Just to show you, the SEM package, which also does other things, structural equation models, is where the two-stage least squares command is, which you will often see in older papers, but I think it's been replaced by IV reg in a lot of things. And so that's page 38, just the two Stavesley squares. And that brings us to a merciful end, another 40 minutes of the IV instrumental variables portion, applying it to observational data. We'll see it some more, but that's a quick overview of what's going on. We're about 40 minutes over a standard class period. We will give it back over time. Thank you very much. We'll call an end, a merciful end, to augmented week four, but we got through everything, and it's here if you want to digest it later. Thank you very much.